The U.S. is warning about China's so-called peace plan for the war in Ukraine. China's leader Xi Jinping is discussing the proposal with Russian President Vladimir Putin, but U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is calling the plan a stalling tactic at best.
Welcome to the What Matters Today podcast from the Geneva Graduate Institute. I'm Dan Graham, head of communications at the Institute. In this podcast series, we ask members of our faculty to comment on key global issues. On the anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, China's foreign ministry presented a 12-point peace plan entitled China's Position on the Political Settlement of the Ukraine Crisis to End the War in Ukraine. Fred Tanner, who is a research associate at the Geneva Graduate Institute's Center on Conflict, Development, and Peacebuilding, and is a visiting professor at the Institute, joins us for this episode of What Matters Today. Is the plan credible? Why did China propose such a plan when it's supporting Russia? Can China dissuade Vladimir Putin from using nuclear weapons? These are just some of the questions we focus on in this episode. So is this document actually a real peace plan? Is it credible?
I would say no. I think it's not a real peace plan. It's really a kind of a policy paper of principles, which here China tries to put forward. And is it credible? I think at that stage, it's not credible because I think one key mistake which has been made was that the Chinese just talked to the Russians about this plan, but not about Ukrainians. And I think so the credibility, there's a credibility gap right now, which I hope will be covered later on.
And why did China propose this plan when it is supporting Russia and Vladimir Putin?
Well, China sees itself as a kind of a mediator here because we know China is an ally of Russia on the one hand. On the other hand, China is very concerned about the war in Ukraine because it has global impact. It has impact on not just Europe, but also on the entire global South. And Russia being an ally of China is not really doing a big favor here to the world community invading another country, basically changing frontiers, violating sovereignty, and committing war crimes.
So I'd just like to ask a follow-up question on the answer you just gave. I'm just curious, why did China propose this plan now? Is there any strategic reason for that?
Yes, I think it's really at the kind of anniversary of the war, Russia's war on Ukraine, 1 year of fighting and 1 year of tragedy in that region. And I think China is concerned about its reputation and has actually announced at the Munich Security Conference, which was just a few days before the anniversary, before 1 year, has announced in that meeting to put forward a peace plan. And I think it's clearly reflecting also that China really tries to position itself here as a kind of neutral country, but of course pro-Russian. And I don't know how whether this
that's
is cracking the circle, but I think that's what it comes down to. But let me mention also when you ask the question about credibility, I just would like to also mention here briefly a kind of remarkable breakthrough which China achieved as a mediator, as a credible mediator, actually, between Saudi Arabia and Iran. We know that these two countries have been in a very strict kind of rivalry for quite a long time. They broke off diplomatic relations in 2016. Actually, Switzerland then moved in as a kind of power state to represent the two countries. And now it seems that China has succeeded after preliminary work done by Iraq, by Oman, in having an agreement between Saudi Arabia and Iran on normalization, the kind of resumption of diplomatic relations. And I think this shows that China sees itself as a global power. It has an interest in stability, but also now is really engaging in mediation on a quite a more professional level.
Right. And it's interesting because you mentioned that China is looking or encouraging stability. And the next question I'd like to ask is just mainly the relationship China and the West, right? So what kind of war or war, quote unquote war, is China waging against the U.S. and the West? Because we're seeing a lot of positioning from the Biden administration. So I'm just curious to see, in your opinion, what is that relationship right now?
Yeah, I think to get a good impression on how China is seeing the U.S. and the West is to look at the joint statement between Russia and China of February 2022. Actually, it was just before the Chinese Olympic Games. At that occasion, the 4th of February, President Putin and President Xi met, of course, in the context of these games, and they signed an agreement, a joint statement, which lies out a bit the relationship and how they perceive the U.S., how they perceive the West, what to do about it. And it's very clear that on the one hand, China has, with Russia, of course, a big problem with NATO block building. They call it like exclusionary military alliances, NATO enlargement, of course. But also they really encourage to move out of to abandon the Cold War mentality. They still accuse the West of being in a kind of Cold War mentality, to basically have a kind of geopolitical kind of guidance here in terms of relations with other states. And I think one important element is also the use of sanctions. I mean, they accuse the West of using sanctions, which disrupts trade. China needs trade right now more than ever. And so I think the sanctions is very much as well in the radar in this context. From a U.S. perspective, it's clear that today China is the key competitor of the United States in this kind of, in your question related to this rivalry or even a kind of warlike relationship. China is the only competitor, really. I mean, Russia is, of course, a competitor to the U.S., but the various strategic documents of the U.S. now, national security strategy from the White House or the national defense strategy from the Pentagon over the next few years clearly look at China and as a kind of the country to engage with strategic competition, but also, if possible, of course, in cooperation as well. What, of course, has been a bit troubling there this relationship is, on one hand, of course, human rights issues and also kind of with a certain language from the West of sanctions. On the other hand, U.S. sanctions against Chinese companies that provide satellite imagery to actually groups fighting in Ukraine, like the Wagner Group.
Right, yeah.
Or other companies which are linked to China's military activities. So here, of course, China being very much engaged in trade, which is really, I think, the kind of ultimate objective to have extensive trade relations. The denial of trade is, of course, very damaging, I think, for all countries involved. Not to forget that China, of course, is embarking on a massive military modernization program right now. I just read on the CPRI report that actually China is spending now, has an increase in spending of 7% of the 22 budget, which seems to be the largest ever in the history. So I think we have a huge efforts here of militarization, of military buildup, which of course shows that that United States and China are in this context very much at loggerheads.
Great, thanks for that. I'd like to ask maybe a specific question about the plan itself. One of the points in the plan, point 8 actually, is entitled Reducing Strategic Risks. And according to this point, so this is actually what's written, nuclear weapons must not be used and nuclear wars must not be fought. China opposes the research, development, and use of chemical and biological weapons by any country under any circumstances. So based on this, do you think China can dissuade Vladimir Putin from using nuclear weapons?
Well, we don't know if China will succeed, but I think the peace plan actually here is quite explicit. I think it's one of the provisos of the peace plan which are quite clearly directed towards Russia. I think, of course, there has been this nuclear saber rattling by President Putin, which is very worrisome that actually nuclear weapons could be used. This is actually also in a violation of the so-called P5 declaration, which has been agreed upon by these five permanent members of the Security Council last year, not to basically threaten the use of nuclear weapons. And China, I think, is following up on that and really tries to moderate the situation because it's, of course, a rising nuclear power itself with huge investments in this field. I mean, I think today China is investing in the nuclear buildup that some experts expect by 2030 or 2035 that China would have over 1,500 nuclear warheads, actually as much as today I think Russia has, and would be a global nuclear power, which of course would need a lot of investments. I mean, there's been a report just a couple of days ago that China has imported highly enriched uranium from Russia, I think in quite large quantities, which clearly shows that here an arms buildup is taking place. And it also may actually erode this kind of deals, erode the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, not to proliferate nuclear material. So I think you have here quite a worrisome situation.
Yeah, no, sounds like it very much so. And my final question, so how do you think China's position will evolve in the context of the war in Ukraine?
I think that China will continue to try to moderate the situation in its relationship with Russia. And again, it's clear Russia is a close ally. I think Russia and China, they share a number of concerns, which, by the way, were also mentioned in this joint statement. One is, as I mentioned, sanctions. But I think those are fear about color revolutions, a fear about regime change. I mean, if there would be a regime change in Russia, China would lose its most important ally. So I think China is very much making sure this is not going to happen. And I think we see, again, on the international level, China is very much in favor of a UN-led global security order, which has been basically reflected recently by a vote by the UN Security, the UN General Assembly condemning Russia. China did not condemn Russia in this vote, but it did not support Russia either. So it abstained. And I think it's very symptomatic. So China tries to look for a middle way here, putting pressure on Russia in certain areas, but of course, working closely with Russia also in Central Asia, for instance, working closely with regard to nuclear weapons we have seen now, but also to basically make sure geopolitically that they have a say and they are setting up some kind of containment policy with regard to the West. And also symptomatic for this partnership or relationship between Russia and China is, of course, that might also have been mentioned in the joint statement, is the development plans for the Eurasian Economic Union. Of course, something Russia is very much supporting, and the Belt and Road Initiative. I think these are commonalities which they will try to push from their side as part of their global engagement.
Thank you very much, Fred. That was great, very interesting. And thank you for joining us on this episode of What Matters Today.
A big pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Fred Tanner discussing China's role in the war in Ukraine. This podcast series is produced by the Geneva Graduate Institute Communications team. For more information about the Institute, please visit our website at graduateinstitute.ch. I'm Dan Graham. Thanks for listening.